Beloved, there you are. Welcome to St. Stephen's today. We really are delighted that you can join us and see the table is set for you. Jesus' table is ready for you. If you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice for later in the service, please do that now. And let's hear the land acknowledgement this month. We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. Dear ones, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's say today's call to worship together. We have gathered to worship God. We have come seeking comfort, inspiration, community, and insight. We have come to open ourselves to the power of God's presence in our midst. We have come to offer up the seasons and turnings in our lives and to ask God's help in our learning and our growing. And friends, as we learn and grow, let's invite Jesus to come alongside us. Let's ask him to do that. And let's light the Christ candle, signifying that he is with us always. Let's pray together. Father, you have called us together to worship just as we are. We cannot pretend to be what we are not, for you have made us and know us through and through. In our weakness, we come with prayers for strength. In our strength, we come with prayers of thanksgiving. Open our hearts that we might pray with honesty and await your answers with renewed faith. May our praise and our worship be unrestrained. Amen. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. Holy God, creator of all that is, donor of grace, and giver of life, hear our prayer. There are chasms in our lives, deep valleys that separate us from one another and from you. We confess that we have allowed those rifts to grow for fear of admitting our part in the separation, for fear of being rejected when we reach out. You call us to a reconciled life, to healed relationships, to a wholeness with each other and with you. Mend us, we pray, and make us new creations through the power and love of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news of our gospel. Because in our fallenness we were not able to draw close to God, God came to be with us through the body and being of his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ came to be with us, amongst us, and for us. In Christ, God's grace came forgiving us, and making the way for us to be able to be with God once again. So this is the good news of our gospel, friends. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. Friends, as we draw closer to God and prepare to hear from God and come to the table, let's confess our faith together by saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning. Today, our scripture readings are from Mark 7, verses 1 to 8, 14 to 15, and 21 to 23. And I'll be reading from my New International Version Bible. Story of the clean and unclean. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with unclean, that is, ceremonially unwashed hands. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding to the traditions of men." Verses 14 to 15. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." And verses 21 to 23. "For within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from within inside and make a man unclean." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, we have spent much of this summer in Galilee with Jesus and his disciples and some rather large crowds that were chasing Jesus around. Today, we actually get to see some new characters enter this story. As we just heard, some religious leaders had traveled from Jerusalem all the way to Galilee to check Jesus out. And it seems that pretty quickly they found what they thought were clear reasons to criticize him and even to discredit him completely. His followers didn't wash before they ate. Now, knowing what you and I know about the relationship between personal hygiene and disease, we probably have some sympathy with this criticism. But we need to be clear, the Pharisees' primary concern here wasn't for the disciples' physical well-being. It was for their spiritual health. The teachings of Judaism prescribed very specific procedures for cleansing before one sat down to a meal. And faithful rabbis taught their disciples to follow these ceremonial practices. So the Pharisees' criticism here was pretty clear. This proved that Jesus wasn't training his disciples to follow the teachings of Judaism. So in their eyes, he wasn't much of a rabbi. Well, Jesus was choked, and he met their criticism with an even sharper one of his own. He called them hypocrites, frauds, whose words sounded holy, but whose hearts and lives were actually anything but. He used words from the prophet Isaiah, words that actually were a criticism that God had leveled at religious leaders century before. He said, "This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." Or as Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message paraphrase of the Bible, "These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they're worshiping me, but they don't mean it." Their heart isn't in it. That's a serious criticism. You see, everything that we do as part of our discipleship to Jesus is meant to come from a heart that is truly seeking to love God and to know God's love for us more fully. None of our Christian practices are the ends themselves, but rather each one is a means to an end. Ultimately, they are the ways that we express our devotion to God. And that's why Jesus leveled this criticism in the first place. Because the Pharisees' hearts weren't actually in all of those practices that they were insisting upon. And so for them, things like ceremonial washing had become nothing more than empty rituals, devoid of the devotion and love they were meant to be rooted in. My friends, this should prompt each of us to check ourselves, especially because if this was a problem way back in the days of Isaiah, and it was apparently still a problem here in the days of Jesus, then it's reasonable to think that there's a distinct possibility that it could be a problem for us too. It seems that anyone trying to worship God and live in his ways can fall into this trap. We can be doing things that look faithful on the surface, but in reality aren't, because our hearts simply aren't in them. So if this is really a potential problem, then how can we guard against it? How can each of us strive to ensure that our lives of worshiping God aren't just a superficial show, but rather are real, honest expressions of our love for God? Interactions with him that come from our deep love for God and our love for others. How can we ensure that our hearts are truly in all that we do as followers of Jesus, and that we haven't fallen into that age-old trap of going through the religious motions? Well, I think that part of the cure for this lies in remembering why we do the things we do and how each of these activities of our faith has the potential to help us to draw closer to God and even to experience God's love and God's presence. So, by way of example today, let's take a look at this thing that we are doing together right now. Let's think about worship. And specifically, this worship service that we've gathered together for today, about what the point of it is, and about why we do it in the way that we do. My hope is that doing this might help each of us to enter more fully into our worship, and so to discover the riches and the benefits that God wants to share with us as we do. In the big picture, every worship service is meant to facilitate some things happening. They are meant to create an opportunity for you to experience the presence of God here with us, for you to be able to express your love for God, and to experience the unending depths of God's love for you. That's what worship is really about. Now, I know not every single Sunday is a home run for this for all of us, but keeping in mind that this is the goal every Sunday can sure help us to come with some level of expectation that we might actually meet God here. It also helps us to come open to the possibilities of what God might want to do with and within each of us today. Well, before we get to the specifics of our services, let's start with the day we gather, Sunday. We come to worship on Sunday simply because, in doing so, we're actually reenacting the central event of our faith. Remember, on a Sunday, the third day after his crucifixion, some of Jesus' first disciples ran to the empty tomb to see for themselves. And they discovered in the process that everything had changed, and life in the restored new creation that God had been promising had been unleashed for anyone who wanted to come to see. So like those first disciples who rushed to that tomb on that Sunday to discover their first tastes of this new life for themselves, we come together here on Sunday morning looking for exactly the same thing, for this life that we can find in Christ, who is risen and alive and very much on the loose. And so we gather. We come together, and as we do, we find that we are greeted with words that explicitly welcome us into the presence of God, the God we trust is here already meeting us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. These are not just empty words that we say, like a hug that you get when you arrive at a dear friend's house. These words of greeting are the welcoming embrace that God has for each one of us every time we come to worship. And having been welcomed with such love, well, we naturally respond. We begin to move towards God ourselves. And we do that in prayer and in song and in confession, seeking and receiving God's grace and peace again today. And of course, as we move towards God, well, God does what he always does. God comes closer to speak to us. And as he does, we lean in to listen. To listen for what God might want to say to us today. So we hear God speak through our scripture reading. And we listen for a sermon that might help us to find our connection to those ancient words and to the great story of God that they depict. And most importantly, we listen for how those words of Scripture connect us to God, who has actually spoken them in love to each of us today. So, having gathered and come towards God, and then having had God move towards us and speak, it's our turn again. Worship is this back and forth movement that we do with God, each of us drawing closer with every step of that movement. Now, in some churches, there is a modern, fairly Protestant propensity to think that the sermon is the high point of the service, and that this movement of us towards God and God towards us culminates somehow with the preacher's message. Well, as a preacher, I am relieved and happy to say that thankfully that's not generally true. We can still draw close to God through the sermon, but we can get much closer than just that. And we do. We come to God directly, each one of us, in prayer, as we pray for our world, for our neighbors and our friends, and even for ourselves. And then, well, we quite literally come to meet God here in the real culmination of our worship, at Jesus' table, as we share in his meal together, participating in the sacrament of communion is meant to be the moment when each of us comes the closest to God that we can, and when God draws the closest to us. And I suspect that many of you might say that that is true for you. I know it is certainly true for me, not just as I take communion myself, but perhaps even more as I watch you take part. And I just, every single time, have this overwhelming sense of how precious you are to Jesus as you receive these gifts he's prepared for us. I know that these moments when we gather at the table are often the holiest moments for many of us. The time when, for a brief time, we really do feel like a family, God's family. Well, once we have come and taken communion, I hope that you have an inherent sense that a shift happens. Having drawn as close to God as we can in worship, having heard from him and prayed to him, shown him his love and felt his love for us, the next movement in worship is ours. We move back to return to the world that we've come from, sent and blessed by God, changed by our encounter with him here, and compelled to let his love flow through us to a world that is so desperately in need of it. All of these things, gathering, drawing near, listening for God to speak, responding to him in prayer, joining him at his table, and then having him bless us and send us out. These are all the beautiful, grace-filled movements that are underneath each piece of our worship every Sunday. They are not just empty religious rituals. They can be that if we do them kind of just going through the motions, but they certainly don't have to be. Not if our hearts are really in them as we do them. Not if we come each Sunday and move through each of those steps with some intentionality, fully engaging and anticipating how each one can bring us closer to God. If our hearts are really in this as we do it, then our worship services can really be what they're meant to be. Little tastes of heaven when we encounter the presence and the love of God, and we leave with our lives having been forever changed by them. Amen.
Let us pray. Compassionate and loving God, we honor you. We worship you. We praise you for being the pinnacle of all compassionate love in our lives and the lives of others. We are grateful for the return of warmer weather, but also for nurturing rain. In the midst of busy lives, help each of us to pause and appreciate the beauty that our ocean, wildlife, and plant life offer us that we live amongst. We thank you, God, for your trustworthiness in all situations and for your love which you freely share with us and for us. We are thankful for the comfort of your presence in the midst of our suffering, no matter what the suffering is. We pray reassurance in particular for those folk who have lost family members or friends through death are those who are struggling with miscommunication between friends, family, or loss of work. Help each of these folk to receive your peace through friends or family, and we ask for your spiritual protection for those folk in significantly painful situations. Help each of us to open our hearts in deeper compassion to those we are connecting with, that we may carefully stem those actions and words which contaminate our way of being and are hurtful to the people we speak to or who are observing our actions. We ask that we be given humility in every interaction with others. And this brings us to the world, which continues to need your help to restore peace amongst all combatants and to bring rain to the drought-ridden countries such as Zambia. We need help to be alert to those ways where we are able to provide assistance. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Friends, come and join Jesus at his table. The Spirit of God be with you, and also with you. Turn to God, the source of life. We lift our hearts in prayer. Let us give thanks. We offer joyful thanks to God. Source and sustainer of life, we gather at this table to offer thanks and to taste afresh the wonder of a holy love. In companionship with all creatures, we are one in gratitude for the gift and mystery of life, and one in longing for a world reborn. Creator and friend, we praise you for your presence in and with your creation, ever drawing it towards healing and wholeness. In our joy, you are the overflowing cup. In our need, you are the bread by which we journey on. With all who abide in your presence and care, we lift our voices to sing. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us remember together that vision of God's reign shown to us in Jesus at table. He shared food with followers and friends, with saints and sinners, with crowds of thousands on the hillside, and a few friends in an upper room. On the night before he died, he had supper with his companions. He took a loaf of bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he passed it among them, saying, "Drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Through this loaf and cup, Jesus lives within us. In word and deed, Jesus lives among us. O God, Redeemer of all things, with grateful thanks we offer this bread and cup, fruits of your earth and of our labor, signs of your redemptive purpose for our lives and for all your creation. By this bread and cup, we remember Christ, sharing in and proclaiming the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Holy God, pour your Spirit on us and on these gifts, that we may know Christ in the breaking of bread, and that in word and deed we may be channels of your love, peace, and justice in the world. Praise be to God, the source of love. Praise be to Jesus Christ, love incarnate. Praise be to the Spirit, love's power. Praise be to God. Amen. Friends, please join me as we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for us. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to consume these gifts in the places where you are.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. And so we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. Stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drained death's cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink
And now let's join together in saying our prayer after communion. Life-giving God, may we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring new life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope that you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free, and all creation will live to praise your name. Amen.
Thank you for all the ways you give to the mission and work of God here at St. Stephen's and beyond. I know many of you give to ministries and institutions outside of the church that give back globally. Thank you. Thank you for being a good neighbor. Let's pray over all the gifts given this week. Giving God, we give you thanks and praise for all of your gifts to us. We know that you are the source of every good thing. Light and love come from you. You have created us, and you continue to breathe life into us through the power of your Holy Spirit. You have given us so much, and it is because we recognize the gifts that you have given to us that we now give to the work of your kingdom. We now dedicate this offering to the work of your kingdom here on earth. May these gifts be used wisely and diligently so that your love may be known widely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear friends, God's Spirit invited each of us to gather here together today for our worship, to encounter him, to be changed by an experience of his love for us, and to be equipped by him to return to the world he so loves. So let's go with faith, faith that has been strengthened and deepened by the Holy Spirit, to follow where Jesus leads, confident that God's love and God's presence go with us. Amen.
Lost or saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned.